Hello, everyone. This is Terry. Welcome to episode 220 of the RC Roundtable. I'm recording this little introduction because this is the only time that you will hear my voice in this episode. Why is that, you ask? Well, that's because Fitz and Lee were able to go to the Joe Nall event in Woodruff, South Carolina, and I was not able to go. But Fitz and Lee, they went, and while they were there, they recorded an episode without me. Not only did they record an episode without me, they recorded this episode with Ron and Tom from the RC Plane Lab podcast. Now, you might think that would make me feel a little bit left out and maybe even a little bit jealous, but I can assure you, I am not feeling jealous. And I'm sure that Dave from RC Plane Lab is not feeling jealous either. In fact, just to help me feel more included, when Fitz and Lee returned, they asked me to do all of the editing and other work to get this podcast released. So I almost feel like I was right there with them. So sit back, relax, and listen to these miserable backwoods glue-sniffing disloyal assholes talk about all the fun they had without me. Enjoy.
Welcome to the RC Roundtable Podcast, where we discuss the latest RC hobby news, events, model reviews, and a whole lot more.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the RC Plane Lab Podcast. I'm Ron.
I'm Tom.
I'm Lee.
I'm Fitz.
Hi, guys. Good job, guys. What's going on?
We're at Joe Nall.
Final day of Joe
Nall. 2025.
Unfortunately. For you guys. Are you staying tonight?
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. We originally were going to stay tonight, but we have been here over a week.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're hardcore. So. Yeah,
I'm ready to get home. So,
if you can get home.
What is this home you speak of?
Yeah.
I'm looking at your RV and the tracks in front of them.
I think if we make it off to the side and just get a bulldozer, we'll be all right.
It'll be fine.
There's enough tractors back there to pull
big
you out.
Tractors here. Yep.
They've been doing that all week.
Yes, they have.
I saw when we came in, we saw people getting pulled out.
Yeah.
So, three solid days of rain to start off Joe Nall for us. So, that was.
I already told the guys the title of this episode is called The Good, The Bad, and The Muddy.
Well, I guess we're going to steal that one now.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Appreciate
you're going to have
it.
To come up with another name now.
No, part two.
Yeah, but it has not deterred people from flying because you can hear in the background.
Yeah, so we are actually sitting off the coast of the
Lake Montana.
Pond,
Lake Montana.
With actually a very nice breeze right now. I was afraid of that because it was getting pretty crappy this morning.
What I like is that the last time we did this 2 years ago, we were at Electrics, mm-hmm. and now we're here. So I'm kind of wondering where we'll be the next time we get together.
Yeah, next time we do this. Yeah,
we'll have to rotate different locations.
We're away the Electric Pro 4 where there's nobody here.
It's quiet. Helicopters, I meant.
Quiet.
I shouldn't say that. There were helicopters flying there.
I saw one.
I saw them several times.
They have their own area and nobody there to enjoy it. Anyway.
Yeah, they are definitely out there in the sticks.
Did you guys make it up to the helicopter line?
We kept driving by. I did last time, but I didn't do this time. Even though I brought a little helicopter, I didn't get a chance. Go up there and say, if you guys are good, you can come join the rest of the people.
I know. They have them right at the beginning. So as everybody else drives in, they see people driving by them and just ignoring them. And it's like they're shunned. It's weird.
But it looked like, at least when I drove by, the couple times that I was up there, looked like they were having a good time. Yeah, I mean, waiting.
If anything,
you can fly anytime you need to.
There was more people than last time we were here at the helicopter area. So
really?
So hopefully they're growing.
It looked that way to me too.
Yeah, I only saw it once as I left and came back. Of the week we've been here, I've only been off site once. And that's been nice.
And that's one more than me.
And it was weird. I'm going to be honest. It was weird getting back to normal life because like here, everything is just, it's its own pace. It's
Joe Nall time.
Well, there's time and there's the way people dress, people walk around. I mean, honestly.
Bunch of slobs running around.
And plastic bags. Yeah. Well,
some guys are barefoot.
I know, right? So I've got my dirty pants on because I've worn them for a couple days and rain and stuff. I've got my socks on and I'm wearing my sandals, which is fine for here. But then I went out in public and I was like, I probably should have changed. Like everybody's looking at you like you're a weirdo.
Actually, I think in town you sort of fit right in. and Woodruff. Wow. <Ouch. laughs> I mean, you look wow. like a local, maybe. I don't know. I didn't make it off.
We've
off
lost a couple
base.
Of South Carolina.
No kidding. That was rude.
Well, nothing against. It's just they're, you know,
casual. Comfortable.
Yeah, casual. Thank you.
I've been comfortable. So
yeah, there you go.
So, what do you guys think? You missed last year. What's your thoughts on this year?
I heard it rained last year too.
Towards the end of the
towards
week.
Towards the end, yeah.
And that's why actually we left Friday last year. We left a day yep. early.
Because it was coming. Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming. Storms are coming.
Winter is coming.
It's great. I mean, yeah, we had the very bad rain and mud. We can talk about that for a long time. And it is muddy. And my trailer is still in mud. Mm. And it's yucky. But that being said, we have been flying.
Yeah.
And I was telling Fitz when we were golf carting up to your RV. The pond behind us has been, I think it's one of my favorite places to be.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
this morning I was flying several of my planes, two that I've never flown off water. I just like to do them on grass, just touch and go. So my PBY and my Dragonfly, which are both made for water, but I just, you know, didn't want to, I guess. I just enjoy the way I fly them. But they flew great today, and we've had a great time.
Yeah. That's awesome.
The flow line is probably my favorite also.
Talking to the you keep looking
I'm pretty
away.
Loud. I have you a theater. They, people tell me I have a theater voice, so I'm pretty sure people are going, Lee needs to back off the mic.
I guess I can fix it later if I have
to. Oh, you don't have to fix it. Terry's usually turning my butt down.
Fix it in post.
He's like, Lee is so loud. But let's talk about the real quiet one who's sitting to my left. Hey, get off your phone and talk
yeah,
to
no
us,
Fitz. Yeah, no kidding. He's like on Facebook. Or
he's
I
like
don't
posting
know.
Stuff on
I
like Hobby View and
my list of items for
I'm
this
sure
show.
Sure you are. I mean, you guys watch our show,
empty.
Right? Our favorite joke is during this show, because we record him on video, is his head's down and he's whittling away on some plastic model or something.
Multitasking.
And creakling noises. And we're like, hey, welcome back to the show, Fitz.
Oh, we're doing that now?
So, yeah, how about you, Fitz? What's your favorite part of the Joe Nall?
Joe Nall?
All of it.
All of it?
Yeah.
Everything. Just wandering around, talking to people, buying stuff, selling stuff, whatever. Not really selling anything, but watching the models, you know, I'm perfectly fine not really flying all that much. I did fly a bunch, but just helping out, just really neat event to be at.
Yeah.
And I'm just it's almost saturated with all the stuff that's going on. So, for me, I'm just enjoying being here and looking at all the poorly dressed people flying really cool airplanes.
I'm going to add something to what Fitz said, because he said help out people. And I think what we should mention is our buddy Mike Leibel, who came with us, drove from Texas.
Yeah.
He brought his large B-24, Don Smith, right?
Yeah, Don Smith. 140-inch wingspan.
Yeah. And we wanted to bring him here. Like, when I knew I was coming, I called Mike and said, hey, I'm going to Joe Nall. You want to join us? And he was ecstatic. He's recently retired and is like the biggest grin on his face. So, I mean, he's happy to be here. So that's something that Fitz and I were working together on. It's like, let's make sure Mike gets to fly. So he brought his L4 Grasshopper, and he had a beautiful flight yesterday in the main line. And that's a good feeling. Like he said, helping people, doing that kind of stuff, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was cool to watch. I was glad we got to go up there and see that.
Yeah, that's a very special project for him. Him and another gentleman in our club who has passed away some years ago.
Herman
Burton was his name. And it was a collaborative project they worked on for several years, and they would fly together. And so Mike really enjoys taking the plane around to different locations and flying it and marking it down. He has a whole logbook. He can tell you exactly how many flights he's had on
that
thing.
That's awesome.
And so he was really ecstatic to bring it here to fly it at Joe Nall.
Yeah.
Because I think this is the furthest he's ever traveled with it. Because that's further than Muncie, right, I think? Or is it? What do you think?
Yeah, I think we're further than Muncie.
So he's flown at Muncie as well. And so it's one of his things. He's just, personally speaking, he just loves to do that. And he just sent us a note. One of the wing panels is signatures from people either flew in or related
awesome.
To the B-24s or related to family. And he just sent us a note that he found somebody at the main line who either him, was it him or his tail gunner or a relative was a tail gunner in a B-24.
That's
and
awesome.
And so he had it signed. So
that is
that's
cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Flew it beautifully too. Like considering the condition is pretty windy.
Yeah, it was windy and a little slushy yesterday still. Yeah. The takeoff arm was a little bit longer than we've normally seen, but
I gotta tell you, it warmed my heart that it was nitro powered.
Yes, we should say it's got four OS-110s, I believe, 4-stroke nitro powered engines on it.
And they ran, all four of them ran beautifully.
Yeah, he's had to rebuild them several times.
Yeah.
He said one of them, he said it was a little bulky at first because it's got a new bearings and stuff in it. But once he's got up and running, he's got a glow igniter for when it's at idle. He's got, mm-hmm. It's all decked out. It's got brakes, working bomb drops, some of the turrets removed.
Yeah.
It's really a labor of love and a lot of special features.
It was a lot of fun to watch. I'm glad he was able to bring it.
I think he was the only four-engined plane to fly here, right? So far.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing any other.
I've seen a bunch of twins.
Internal combustion, yeah.
I did see a electric B-24, but only internal combustion four engines that I've seen so far at the show.
Yep. Yeah, very well done. But there was a four-engine Super Constellation also.
There was. Electric.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, talk about that one. I forgot. I missed that. Like, I sadly didn't get to see it.
I saw a glimpse of it.
That's a scratch-built, as far as we know, Lockheed Constellation, four-engine early airliner, designed in part by Howard Hughes, right? Howard Hughes is Lockheed.
TWA,
mm-hmm. Trans World Airlines. So that was our buddy. No, it wasn't Joe. That was it John?
Joe. I think that was
Joe.
Was it Joe?
Okay, it was just Joe and John. And I can't try to remember. So Joe brought it from Rhode Island, and he flew it. I saw it fly once. He flew it around, and it looked really neat in the air. It's a sexy looking plane, and he flew it around. And apparently, he flew it again. I wasn't around, and he lost radio contact with it and had a really hard landing with it. And so he apparently decided that he wasn't going to repair it. And so he started offering us deals we couldn't refuse. And so now it's in my trailer.
It's going home with you.
It's going home with me to get repaired.
That's awesome. In my trailer. Let's be a little bit more specific.
And what's it got, 100-inch wingspan or something like that?
At least.
Yeah, it
100
was.
100-something, I think.
It's a good, hold on. It was... Because I remember he had it sitting on the ground. It was probably about a foot taller than he was, so probably 7-ish feet wingspan, maybe.
Oh, I would have thought it was bigger than that.
I thought it was bigger than that, but it
couldn't. One-piece wing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, one-piece wing, yeah.
So that's fun to try.
But the tail comes off, it looks like, though.
Excuse me. One-piece fuselage.
If it doesn't, it can.
Right.
Yeah, it's really neat. It's electric power. It runs off a couple of big battery packs, and it just looked neat in the air. I said, this is going to be cool.
Yeah.
So.
And you're going home with it. Who would have thought?
Going home with it. I would not have thought that.
And the challenge for Fitz now is that we told him he had to have it ready for Best in October.
I was going to say, so if you saw him fly it and you liked it, so what did you do to sabotage it then?
I really don't talk about that. I know nothing. I don't know.
Is this fishing line tied to the gear?
Yeah.
FYI, Best Electric in South Texas is a big electric event that Lee and I always go to.
New Waverly, Texas, first weekend in October.
Just north of Houston.
Yeah, it's close for you guys.
Yeah, it's very close for us.
Yeah, it's close, but we camp out. We go there and we just stay the night. They've got nice facilities there, and we just spend a long 3 or 4 day weekend.
I'm not sure if it was, I was talking to you, Ron, but it's like when we were sitting at the electric line here at Joe Nall, someone was asking me what's Best like. I said, Best is like this. It's like the electric flight line here, 60, 70 pilots. That kind of camaraderie, people just sitting in chairs, watching the show, having a good time, very relaxed.
Yes.
No contests, just having fun.
Yeah.
They do give out some awards, but it's real low-key.
Big plane.
All electric?
It's all electric.
Yep.
That's the
We should make a road trip down there for that.
Oh, Texas? I've never been to Texas.
Not that far.
Well, there you go. 11, kill two birds with one stone. Come to Texas, come to Best Electric. You'll have a good time. It's really nice.
See Space Center Houston. That's further.
That's right.
Way further south. So they're 50 miles plus.
Space stuff and what else stuff we have?
Ron would like rodeo that space stuff.
I do.
You're into that space
stuff. Are you? Well,
why don't you fly rockets, by the way? Random thought.
Why don't I?
Yeah.
Because that's...
You're into space stuff.
Boring. Oh. It's just small things that go up and down. You don't control it.
They make big rockets.
Some planes have gone up and down here, too.
We've seen a ton of that.
Not necessarily under control, too.
Yeah, there have been several accidents that I've heard of and seen a few.
Yeah, I kind of had one.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you do?
Did you see it?
I saw
the aftermath.
Did you see the yellow Habu 32 I had?
Beautiful airplane.
I don't know.
Oh, so I have a yellow Habu 32X. This is the old ones, the fiberglass fuselage with the wood wings.
Really?
These are the ones that guys put 12 cells in to make them do 200 miles an hour and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Mine was semi-hopped up. It wasn't a stock system. It was an 8-cell with a jet fan. I never clocked it. I should have clocked it, but it was.
Oh, it was fast.
It was the fastest jet out there. And,
Definitely the fastest EDF out there.
Yeah, it was fastest EDF. Yeah,
for sure.
Not the turbine, but the fastest EDF in the electric line.
Yeah.
I actually came up with somebody. I didn't realize how fast I was going. I was about to run into somebody, another jet that was flying. I was like, whoa, baby.
That's a good feeling.
So I flew it once, had a great flight with it. A couple of people was like, oh, that's a new, that's the Habu. Is that the new one? It's like, no, no, this thing's like old as dirt. Yeah. And I was running the SMC batteries in it. And so there's a couple of SMC guys or representatives of SMC. And they're really curious about it. I said, well, okay, well, I just bought a new bigger pack of SMC batteries. Because the first pack was, I thought I didn't have enough room. And it turns out I had more room than I thought. And I did a poor bit job of measuring. And so I was only good for maybe 2.5 minutes with the old pack. So I got the much higher capacity packs. Let me throw those in for the first time and give those a shot. And SMC guy's like, yeah, okay.
Is it ATEL setup?
ATEL. So okay, 2.4S packs in series. And so I take off. And I'm doing some high-speed passes. The guy's recording some stuff. We're having a good old time. And I did the same thing I did earlier with the other pack, the smaller pack. I did a down line, upwind really fast, pulled knife edge, did a kind of a pull pretty tight.
Yep.
And at that point, one of the wings decided it no longer wanted to be part of the airframe. Oh. And so it just, I saw this flick of yellow just pop off. It's like, that looks like my wing.
It happened in an instant. It is an instant. I couldn't believe how quickly.
It was fast. Yeah. It just corkscrewed. It was going so fast that after the wing left, it was still flying a good 500 feet. Yeah. Yeah. All I could do was throttle back and you know, good knowing you.
Good knowing you.
Salute.
I couldn't see the debris field from where I was sitting, but like how long was the debris field?
It wasn't too bad. No? It shedded a few parts, but it hit hard and injected the battery and the motor. I think we found all pieces. We had to search for the batteries. Note to SMC, you need bright yellow batteries so we can find those suckers.
That's a good idea.
The batteries are kind of obliterated, but we did find them. I didn't want them to sit there or get run over or something.
Right. Yeah.
And it looks like Lee could confirm. I bought the plane used. It has a story. I don't want to get too long in this.
No, it's fine. It's okay.
Lee, I, and Terry, if I remember correctly, we went up to the
New Jersey.
New Jersey to the AMA East Expo. Yep. And it was sitting there for sale. They had a bunch of planes for sale. And it was the Habu 32. And I said, oh, that's the fiberglass one. I know those things are kind of speedy. I'd love to stick a nice power setup in there. And we were there early, and so when I finally found somebody to ask how much they wanted, and they told me, and it's like, shut up, take my money. I don't think it's ever been flown. And so we had to ship it back as check-in luggage in a bag and part of a box and that kind of stuff. It was interesting getting it back. And so anyway, I got back home, and I set it up for 8S and a jet fan, 80 fan and that kind of stuff. And I flew it several times. It looked like it would be a handful of a plane to fly, but it actually flies really nice. It's really locked in.
It does look like a handful.
It does. It can be. I mean, as you tune it down, but it's fairly locked in, and it'll land fairly slow for what it is, even though it's a little chunky.
Yeah.
And so I've flown it maybe half a dozen times or so, and it was just been hanging up in my workshop for quite a while. I've had some minor instances with it. I had a gear fail to extend one time, and I belly landed it and broke one of the tail pieces off, and I was able to fix that. But anyways, I lost where I was. Oh, the story of where I was going with this. Sorry, I got the
back on the train.
Squirrel.
Just like the wing.
So
I'm done with this conversation.
So anyways, what I was getting to is I didn't build it, right? Somebody else built it. I just bought it used. And I didn't think I pulled that hard, snapped the wing off. And so inspecting it, I realized where the carbon spar goes into the wing, I really didn't see any glue. And Lee can confirm. I told him on both wings. It's like, where's the glue? There should be a whole bunch of glue in the channel that this thing slides in.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of epoxy kind of near the wing root, and that was it.
Oh, dear.
So this was, whoever built it was really chintzy on the glue.
Missed a step.
Missed a spot.
Well, they were trying to keep it light. See, they didn't want to put a lot of glue and epoxy on it to make it heavy.
Honestly, surprised it didn't fail. Maybe because the past few times it was pretty easy with it, but here I was.
Well, you had a heavier battery in it, too.
I had a heavier battery.
So it was a little.
So I think that was just enough to get over the edge. Yes, the gyroscopic force, what do you call it?
Centrifugal.
There you go. The G-forces, as it doing a turn, was just enough with the heavier battery pack to pop the wing off. So anyways, it was a nice flying plane. Salute. Anyways, I'll go on to. And now we got a spot in the hangar for something else.
All right. Cool.
Put some of those parts in the Connie.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, touch a fan in the bottom of it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
APU.
That's funny. It's
probably big enough to house one of those. That's a big airplane. The Connie, I mean.
Yeah, it's really long. It's like, you know, like having a F-104 starfighter where you get the fuselage is 10,000 feet long and the wings are 2 feet wide.
Yeah, right.
So at this table, that's not the only EDF we lost.
I would say it wasn't lost, by the way.
Oh, there's Plot Dickens.
I don't know which one are we talking about.
I you this morning.
Oh, mine?
Oh, what happened?
Oh, you didn't hear about that?
No.
So
this is just one of those sucky situations. Like there is no.
So Ron and I decided, I guess this morning, really, we decided that we were going to go ahead and leave today. And I had four charged 6S5000s ready to go. And it's more fun to fly them down to storage charge than it is to. Are you typing or what is that? Oh,
I'm fidgeting.
Than it is to put them on a discharger, caffeine, right?
So I thought, right. Use that energy.
Well, while Ron's doing, you know, whatever Ron thinks he was doing in the camper, I thought.
No, I went down to say bye to the Rhode Island guys.
But it sounded more fun the way I said it.
Yeah, I didn't like it, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, quick shout out to our Rhode Island guys. Thanks for dinner.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, those guys have been awesome.
Thanks for the chats and fun conversations. We'll hopefully talk more about them later. But
those guys are fantastic hosts.
They are nice people.
I mean.
Good people.
Yeah. Can't wait to see them again. And we just said goodbye to them an hour ago.
A couple hours ago, yeah.
I miss them already. Anyway, so yeah, four batteries ready to go. I thought, you know, I'll just take the Viper 90 down to the E-line, run these batteries off. That way I don't have to put them on a discharger and wait, you know, for them to discharge to the storage, all that kind of stuff, because they're not smart batteries. So yeah, I take the Viper 90 down there and Ron goes to say goodbye to the Rhode Island guys. And I thought, well, I'll just find a spotter here. You know, I'll ask, see if somebody will spot for me. Lee wasn't around, so he couldn't spot for me. And
the best spotter.
The best spotter ever. So, yeah, one of the guys down there said, hey,
I give good call outs.
It's true, you do. I feel like I would have gotten a much better warning. Anyway, one of the guys was nice enough down there. I didn't catch his name before I left. I left in kind of a hurry. But he volunteered to spot
build
for me.
Up? This story's getting
four letters.
Sweet, some music.
I took about a minute off my timer, so I figured, well, that should give me about 40% if I land around the timer left on the battery. So I took, you know, went up, flew around. You know, the Viper 90s, they fly great. Well, I say landed. So I told my spotter, I said, hey, I'm going to do a gear pass and then I'm going to land. Okay, gotcha. So did my gear pass, three, you know, gear down, no problem. And said, okay, I'm going to land. My spotter called out, hey, landing on whatever number we were on. Held the stick up, like, because that's how, in case anyone doesn't understand how this works at Joe Knoll, there are two sticks at every flight station, every pilot station. They're color-coded. I think green is landing, red, blue, I think, is taking off, something like that.
Green is ground, green. Blue is sky.
Yeah, yep. There you go. Yep.
They also serve as self-defense mechanisms.
They do, actually.
They're really long.
Or jousting, if you guys get into a fight.
You do lightsaber battles?
Beating the person Tom's about to introduce.
They're not very sharp, though. So, like,
you can bludgeon.
It would probably
hurt. It's more fun to bludgeon than
yeah,
to
slice.
That's true. So I called out the landing. My spotter called out the landing. He held up the green stick saying, hey, landing. And so I heard something going on to my left, which was one of the pilot stations to the left. I couldn't hear what they were saying, but I was counting on my spotter to let me know what they were saying, if they were going to be a factor on the landing. So I'm lined up for the landing. Everything's fine. I told my spotter, hey, I'm going to land it in the grass. It's a Viper 90. They have a geotextile runway out on the E-line. And EDFs, unless you have thrust reversing, you know, they eat up a lot of that runway on landing.
Plus, it's kind of going downhill.
The way we were going, yeah, because of the wind.
Well, on the very end of it is kind of a bump, too. So if you're going a little bit too fast, it'll throw you right back in the air.
Yep. So I told my spotter, hey, I'm going to put it in the grass out here in front of us so it slows down. He's like, yep, no problem. So I'm on final, and I'm about to touch down, and I, thinking back on it, I think my spotter said, hey, go around. But he said it really, really quiet. And I thought he had turned his head to talk to the people next to me.
You know, I'm just thinking, you may kind of want to.
It's like the guy from Office Space. You know, if you kind of went around, it'd be good, you know.
It'd be great if you walked around, okay?
Yeah. Okay. So the main gear touchdown, and then I hear him say again, louder this time, hey, go around. I'm like, oh. Well, I'm committed.
You're on the ground.
It takes a little, especially these Viper 90s, it takes a little time to build up airspeeding, especially if you're already on the ground. So I land on, you know, I land all three gear down, and about the time I push the stick forward, wham, crash, white foam pieces like everywhere. Yeah, some guy had taxied out onto the green space where there's a line painted on the green, right? Between the pilot station and the white line is like you can taxi your airplanes out and hold short. That's what I would call a hold short line. Mm,
yeah.
And then on the other side of that white line is more green, and then the geotextile runway. So you have options. You can land on the grass or the geotextile runway and still be out of the way of the pilot, the hold short line. Well, this guy was past the hold short line. He was actually kind of just on the runway side of the white line, but still on the active runway. And so, yeah, I'm not sure why he was there. I don't know if he was taxiing out to take off or what he was doing. But, yeah, the two airplanes at high speed. Well, his was stationary. Mine was relatively high speed because it had just touched down. It's a Viper 90. Did I mention that? Probably lands at a 40-ish, 35, 40, because I don't do the high alpha landings, you know.
So there's a lot of momentum as you're coming in.
And broke the nose off. And I really hadn't looked really close. Large chunks. It'll be easy to repair, but, yeah.
It's not a basket case.
So it's repairable.
It is. Okay. It is. Yeah. And I'll fix it. It just won't be beautiful.
Were the other guys obliterated?
To be honest, I don't know.
His tail was broken.
Was it?
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. Let it serve as a
warning. I walked up as soon as his wheels hit. So I noticed it was Tom. And so I saw the plane T-bone.
Yeah, it was exactly a T-bone because he was nose towards the runway and I
can't vouch or confirm this, but I thought he was rolling out. I actually thought he was moving. That's what I got. Why I was mad, because I felt like he was going out while you called landing.
There's a lot of people that take off cross runway, especially if they have slower airplanes that don't require a long run out.
But here's, to defend Tom, I saw the guy standing between the pilot stations. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he wasn't like ready to go taxi out. I saw the pole up in the air, your spotter.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt like miscommunication. Can't blame it on Tom. Tom was committed. He was focused on his airplane. So, and Grant, I mentioned earlier, I love to scream. When Fitz has me out there, I love to be very loud and repeat everything that's happening. So people don't have that mistake.
Yeah.
I didn't hear anything, you know?
He was very quiet.
So the other guy should have had a spotter too, right? Did he?
He did.
I guess.
And here's another thing. There may have been, and I hate to blame it on, you know, ethnicities, whatever, but there may have been a language barrier as well. Because the two, I don't know what language it was, but they were speaking between the two of them.
Oh, okay.
And then after the impact, he was trying to say something about I was on the runway or I was taxiing out or whatever. But I couldn't understand what he was saying because of the difference in
in
language. Yeah. So there may have been a language barrier there as well. I don't know. But it was unfortunate.
I didn't think his aircraft should have been where it was. An observer from where I was standing. I wasn't on the flight line, but it looked like his plane was way out there further.
Yeah, so a couple of things. My spotter could have been a little more,
proactive?
Forceful.
Oh.
Louder.
You mean use the PVC pipe as a weapon?
Yeah. Hey, go around. I told you to go around.
Hey, I landed here.
Yeah, so anyway. Yeah, the Viper, it'll live and it'll fly again. Okay. But just let this be a lesson. If you're going to be a spotter, make it known what you want your pilot to hear. Like, make it loud.
I mean, I'm holding that stick up and out.
Yes.
I mean, if they're making you use them here, I'm going to use it. I'm going to make sure everybody sees.
Yeah. At the main line, they had a pilot's briefing the other day. One thing the guy said was a good point. He says, if you're the spotter and you're only looking at the plane you're spotting for, you're doing it wrong.
Exactly right.
He said, I don't want to see spotters looking at the plane that they're standing next to flying. You want to see spotters looking everywhere else.
Right.
Yeah, a spotter should have a general understanding of where your pilot's airplane is, but should be focused on other things that are happening. Yeah, I agree.
So, Fitz, there was a gentleman, we were on the electric flight line, and he had the silver, was it a Warhawk? What did he?
Oh, the P-40. Yeah, the Kitty Hawk, the early version of the P-40.
Okay, but he had painted it.
Yeah, it was painted.
Well, he had just asked if I would spot for him. So I was spotting for him. And I was giving him alerts like ATC, you know? I was like, okay, you got a plane here? Before I can make this turn.
You know, 231 heavy, you're clear for it.
And I'm looking around. And I looked at him and said, hey, am I telling you too much? He goes, oh, no, this is great. I said, like, I really want to know where these other guys are flying. So, you know, keep that up.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's where I like to be. It's like, and when Fitz was flying, I was like, okay, you're very fast. You're coming up on this guy really quick. I mean, you may want to stay high.
Right.
Stay high.
Hey, get out of my way.
I would not give him the runway for a low pass until all the planes were over the trees.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's what I try to do too. Like when I'm spotting for Ron, I try to tell him where everyone's at, and especially like if they're in the opposite end of the pattern than you, then you can do whatever you want. And that's where I like to position myself when I'm flying. But anyway,
well, that's our PSA for everybody listening. Please be a good spotter.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And if there is a pattern. Stay in that pattern.
We were watching the boat line yesterday
that we ended up not even taking off until they were done.
Yeah.
They own the place, even though there was five other airplanes up there. Yeah. Didn't matter. Yeah, wherever they wanted to go, they were going.
They were turning short and then counter pattern turns, coming the opposite way. And I'm not sure if he was doing it intentionally, because it didn't look like he was in full control of the airplane, if you know what I'm saying.
No, I think he was.
I think the airplane was flying him, if you know what I mean.
Because I saw him fly other ones, and it was the same thing. He didn't have any issues landing, taking off, anything like that. It was just...
You're talking about the older guy that I was going to go say something to.
I wasn't going to get too much into it, but yes.
I worry about the guys at the float pond that start their engine up full throttle to take off. That's when I'm like, I don't want to watch this.
Yeah.
You don't need to do that.
No, not on floats. You have plenty of room.
Yeah.
And it's all flat and level.
Yeah, and besides that sort of takes the joy out of float flying, I think, just launching off the water. Like, let it get on step and see the water spray, and then let it lift off and see the water dripping off the floats. That's beautiful.
But he was taking off like he was scared. I was like, that's when you don't want to be flying. But speaking of ponds, since it's behind us and we had a great day, Fitz, tell him your fun story. Our fun project today.
Oh, okay. I needed the context for a second.
Yeah.
There's lots of fun stories. I told you not to tell anybody.
Not that story, Fitz. Okay.
Where do I start with this?
The plane you have.
The plane I have.
Start with the plane.
How far back do I want to go into the history of this?
No, just you have a plane.
Okay. What did you put on it? It has a glider launch cradle on top.
So where did you get this plane?
Lee is shaking his head right now. He is so mad right now.
I know.
He wants to reach across the table and smack you. Here, I'll do it for
him. Luckily, it's a long table and he has short arms.
So this is a twin timber. The E-Flight Twin Timber, which is, once you reprogram the speed controller, it's a really fun plane. And this is the first time I had it on floats. I've always flown on landing gear, and I had a set of floats from my Turbo Timber, and I was thinking, yeah, I was going to bring that and this, so I have a float plane. I realized, hey, wait a minute, these are the same set of floats, so I'll just bring one plane and snap the floats onto the Twin Timber. So the Twin Timber has a laser-cut cradle of my own design that's designed to launch this little discus launch glider called an ELF. It's not very big, maybe 36-inch wingspan, if that much.
I think it's about 24. And they're awesome.
They're awesome little hand launchers. If you don't have one, you need one. They weigh nothing. What do they call it? Fly flatulence is about as much as they weigh. It's a little two-channel. There's no aileron, just rudder elevator, but they're beautiful, beautifully made, beautifully flying. But I'm terrible at finding thermals with this thing as far as flicking it up in the air.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, maybe a little cradle. It's got a little servo in it. It's held on by rubber bands. The servo pulls these two pins that pop the rubber bands off, and it pops off the cradle.
Okay, I'm going to interject here, and this is what happens when Fitz, I got a laser cutter. What can I build next?
Yeah. That's how it should be.
It was great. Right? It was a great
I got
project.
A laser cutter, and I got a CAD program. Let's rock. So I've used it before on wheels, but I never flown off of floats, and I never flown off of floats with the glider on top. Mm-hmm. And so Lee Ray here is saying, well, why don't we go try to fly it over the pond?
No, this is how it happened. Let me help you out here. Okay. I'm at his house really late at night. We're loading the trailer to leave the next morning. And he pulls out the float and says, oh, I'm going to put this on the Twin Timber. And then I'm looking at it because he left the harness on. It's like, well, we're going to fly this off the pond, aren't we? And he was like, I guess so. And so you weren't planning to bring the glider. I didn't think so.
No, I was, but not off the floats.
Not off the floats. Okay. Yeah, but then I hadn't thought about that.
Like,
and then his eyes glazed over. It was like, we're on a mission. Oops, sorry.
You have my interest.
It was awesome. So, yeah. So
we did that earlier today. I shoved the transmitter
flawless.
Lee's hand for the glider, and we took off first time off the floats, even though the rudders are like this because they weren't hooked to the water. It's got differential thrust with the water rudders. And it took off, and we got it up there, popped the thing, and the glider popped off, and Lee had a couple of good flights, right?
I think it did twice. Yeah, the thing was, is like so many people were nervous, like, how's he going to land that? Like, I don't know why people were nervous. It's like, I'm going to just land right here in this grass right here.
You could catch them. They fly really slow.
It's not that hard. And then Fitz, the son of a gun.
Before we get that, we had some minor drama the second launch, the second release. Remember?
Kind of hung up?
Yeah, one side hung up. So I was sitting there.
Oh.
Just a little bit. It wasn't serious.
It came off.
I will just tell you, many, many, many years ago, I had a friend flying his glider off of a harness like that. and we made a turn and his wing disappeared.
Oh.
And so I came down with his glider
halfway
on my plane in an angle. Ooh. You know, just draggy as hell. And he found his wing, and we I don't know if we repaired it or not, but I mean, that's something, is trying to land with a glider that's not quite
stuck
forward facing. Yeah. But no, that was a fun flight, but I'm going to give kudos to Fitz because he hadn't flown the glider yet. So I launched, and I'm just going to interject here. I needed so much elevator. And Fitz did not explain well enough how much elevator I had to give that timber. But we got up there, we flew, and that, what, 6-minute flight?
Yeah, 6-minute flight.
Oh, wow. Started catching thermals. And actually, I'm going to point here, but no one in the listening audience is listening. But you see the ambulance there.
Yeah.
There's a huge drop down to electric.
Yep.
He was riding the ridge because the wind was coming that direction. Awesome. So that son of a gun right there was just sitting there. I'm
playing
just in there. It's I'm like just staring at him. I'm like, come on, man. What are we going to do next?
I think that's the longest flight I've ever had with that elf.
It was pretty. It was pretty. And then you, I mean, it was a long, oh my gosh, even better. You know, he was setting up to land. He gets over the people. He gets right over here. Sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
He gets right over these people, and he starts finding more lift. Like, he's 30 feet above their heads, and the plane's just floating. It will not come down. He does, like, what, 2 turns?
Yeah, I did a couple turns.
Two turns over their heads.
Two and turns, then S turns, us. Yeah.
Wow.
Fun. Nice. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was good.
That's a gold star moment here at Joe.
Good suggestion, Lee.
That's cool.
And nobody else there had, everybody was laughing. They're like, you've never seen this at Joe Knoll. I promise you, this is something new. Yeah. Float. Glider release.
Yeah.
I bet nobody's seen it.
You're going to see two people doing it next year.
Yeah. Probably. 6 minutes is actually pretty good. I think the longest flight I have on mine is like 42 seconds. So, way to go.
Did it come back in one piece?
Well, that's just from the ground. Yeah, you got to
I know where you can buy plans for a little release mechanism that he'll sell you.
There you go.
Send you the CAD files. You can print your own.
I've got laser cutter.
I think I've gotten up to 2 minutes from a hand launch with it on a really good day. Like I said, I'm terrible with...
I don't know enough about it. Like, I need to spend some time and actually kind of figure out what you're looking for.
Watch the birds. That's what I hear.
That's true. Yeah, watch the birds know really well.
I have I didn't build it. I mean, I built it, but it was a pre-sheeted kit, fiberglass DLG. And I think that's probably how I threw out my shoulder too, Fitz.
Oh, yeah.
I've had shoulder surgery.
At
best, I had flown the DLG, and Fitz, do you remember when I first built it, I didn't have enough dihedral?
No, I don't remember that.
It was just flat. It was like pancaking out. It was like just
flat,
spinning.
Turns.
So I had to take it home and work on it. But I did a 10-minute flight out at best.
Nice.
So that's fun. If you guys haven't done DLG and you like gliders and stuff like that, that is fun.
It's very simple. And as long as you're decent enough, you don't have to walk very far to pick it up. You can catch it and just spin around and go again.
Or find someone to put a plane harness on top and taxi that way.
Who needs a glider tow? You're just a glider taxi.
Almost. So that was not the only weird thing.
Glider rickshaw. That's kind of what that is.
Rickshaw?
Isn't it? Isn't that what the dude carrying?
Yeah. That's I'm trying.
Glider on top of
I was trying to the context of that.
It was a stretch. Sorry.
I was going to say, that's not the only weird thing on floats that the pond saw this week.
I bet no one else saw this.
Oh, my gosh. I got to see it in the air, but I didn't see it on the water. So I'm waiting for this story.
The water was pretty hairy. So before we came here, I crashed a Viper. And
90.
Viper 90. 90.
Yep.
I think this episode is sponsored by the Viper. How many of y'all have?
Well, actually, this one is completely my fault, but I kind of was following Tommy's lead, not realizing he had a bigger battery. Like, I always fly like 3 minutes and land. He's out there. I'm like, I can stay up with him a little bit. And so it gets to like 3 minutes and 30 seconds. I'm like, all right, I got to come in. Long story short, get like 30 feet off the ground, battery, low voltage cutoff just comes and it just stalls and comes down. Turns out he was flying a 5,800 or
6,800.
6,800. And I was flying a 5,000. So no wonder
somehow
he was
this always ends up my fault.
I said it wasn't your fault, but it was because I was following your lead.
Okay.
But anyway, so that gave me a Viper that I had nothing really to do with. Fixed it, but it wasn't pretty, so I bought a new one because I like them to look decent. And this one was just something to play around with. So I decided to put floats on it. Dave said he had floats.
We've talked about it on the show.
Well, I don't know if these guys know anything about it.
Oh, well, that's true. They probably listen to our show.
Wait, y'all have a show?
Yeah. No, we just travel around every couple of years and set this up for you guys. So long story short, but the float's on it and stuff. And I admit, I chickened out. Tommy flew it first time, not successful. Second time.
I saw that video.
It was ugly.
Second time, very successful. Go ahead and spin your yarn. Tell your tale.
Yeah, so there's no water rudders. The builder did not give me the option of controlling the thing on the water.
That's not okay. So, hold on.
Secondary.
It does have thrust vectoring for control.
Right.
So real quick, can you describe how the float configuration? Is it one big float in the middle, two little out ones, or just two regular?
I don't know. It's regular floats for, I don't remember what Dave said they came
from. Super Cub? Was it? Are they Super Cub floats?
Could have been, maybe.
It's one of their larger Cub style.
Yeah, so, a couple of pontoons.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay. Exactly. But like he said, no water rudder, and I didn't want to go through that hassle. So
hassle.
I did the quick thrust vectoring for steering.
So yeah, Ron and I talked about it before the first takeoff. I said, okay, here's what we'll do. We'll turn the thrust vectoring on, get it pointed in the wind, turn the thrust vectoring off, and take off. Also had thrust reverse enabled. And Ron flies with an IX-20, which has like a few more switches than my IX-14. So I, you know, kind of run down the mental checklist. Okay, this switch does this, this switch does that. Okay, got it, cool. You ready, Ron? You're recording? Yeah, I'm recording. Okay, off we go. So thrust vectoring, I get it pointed in the wind, and I forget to turn the thrust vectoring off. Which, you know what, thinking back, we should have just turned the elevator thrust vector portion just off or to zero rate. Then yeah, we would have just had better. Anyway.
Hindsight's always 20/20.
So we do the takeoff rollout.
Well, that's how Elon works. He finds the mistakes and then he fixes it. That's a stronger bolt here.
Right, exactly.
I don't have his money though.
So it takes a lot of up elevator to get it to break that whatever you
suction,
want to suction off the water. So I'm holding almost full up elevator to get it off the water. And it finally gets off the water and, well, thrust vectoring is still on. So the thing does an immediate 90-degree, you know, like you see the thrust vector jets do. They point the nose up and that's what it did, like about 8 inches off the water.
Not going to lie, that did look pretty cool, though.
So now I'm panicking. Oh, darn. That's not really what was going through my head, but Shucks. I forgot to turn the thrust vector. So then I'm fumbling, trying to find a thrust vectoring switch. Meanwhile, trying to level the thing off. Well, I get it leveled off. It's like skims the water. Looking back, you know, lots of mistakes were made. I should have just cut the power, let it settle in and attempt it again. But I was already at airspeed. I'm like, no, I'm going to wrestle this thing into the air. And it skims the water. I get it leveled off and I'm starting to kind of climb out. And in the panic of trying to find the thrust vector switch, I'm pretty sure I hit the thrust reverse switch. Lost all my forward momentum. And then it's already at a pretty good rate of speed. Kind of dives down, goes nose down and catches the tips of the floats and they explode into, well, three large chunks.
Yeah, one exploded. The other one was perfectly fine.
Yeah, and then it pulled all four mounts out of the two floats. So that was the first takeoff. I mean, I'm going to call that a takeoff because it did take off. And it did fly.
It hovered for a couple seconds.
It did.
A tenth of a second, maybe.
It looks cool. Like, looking back on it, it's a cool crash.
Yeah, absolutely. No harm, no foul.
Yeah. So anyway, brought it back, repaired it, and the second attempt was successful and actually flies really nice. I mean, it's really not like fast.
Like, it looks pretty quick.
Flying wide open almost the whole time.
I understand.
It's equivalent to another fuselage,
a lot of drag.
Basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was at Electric Flight Line and I saw this jet with floats. I was like, that's Tom. And you were booking.
Yeah. It was
didn't
fast.
Feel like it's maybe it's because it's a visual thing, but it didn't feel like I felt like I had to have the throttle peg to maintain.
And you might have, but you were still
faster than any other aircraft.
Well, okay.
Yeah. That was the fastest one on the float line that day for sure.
And the landing was really a non event. I just set it up in a nice gentle glide and got close to the water and flared, and it was like a non-event for the landing.
Yeah.
But yeah, Viper 90 on floats, success.
That was good.
Those crazy guys, RC Plane Lab and RC Roundtable out there in the float pond.
Right?
God, someone's going to kick them out.
That's the point of this, though, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Just to have fun and enjoy a week of nothing but.
For sure. So yeah, Ron's going to post the video of that, hopefully on our Facebook page, right?
Yes, send me a reminder.
Or our YouTube channel, I don't know, somewhere.
Yeah, I'll have to do that.
It'll be fun to watch.
It was good. I was surprised that it worked.
I wasn't surprised that it worked. I was surprised that it worked with the thrust vectoring.
I was more concerned about power to get off the ground, off the water, but it worked out okay.
Yeah.
Or just how long you'd be on step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like just... Not exactly sure, because I mean, it wasn't even one where I really had a lot of adjustability on where I put it to make it.
I was going to say, did you do any calculations or measurements for the
absolutely
step?
Not. No.
That could be kind of critical.
But Siri's not
like,
here.
But like checking the balance and everything, the step is almost right where the CG is.
Right.
Which is,
and so I figured that was pretty close.
I think that's right, though. It's supposed to be offset from the CG.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be forward, I think.
Trying to remember.
Well, that would have something to do with it then.
Yeah. It's not supposed to be on the CG, but it's close to it, but not on it.
It's really close. But either way,
it was what it was. It worked okay.
It was a success, and Ron did not fly it.
No, I didn't. I'm going to admit I did kind of wimp out on that. Once it got windy and
that probably would have helped, though, honestly.
Yeah, it probably would have, actually.
And the chop would help it break the surface tension or surface whatever, area, suction, whatever that is.
Oh, well, that ship has sailed.
Yeah, surface tension.
No biggie.
Hey, it worked. That's all that matters.
It did.
Yeah.
Good times at Joe and all.
Speaking of good times, the other thing that happened, I got to feel what it's like to be Lee.
I'm sorry.
Do tell.
So I'm standing there talking to Fitz.
Oh. And, I know where this is going.
And all of a sudden.
How did I get pulled into this?
Well, all of a sudden, and this does happen to us too from time to time. People know you. People come up and say hi and stuff. And this guy comes up and just kind of butts right in. He's like, I know you, but you don't know me. And so I'm kind of looking at him and I'm like, okay, where are we going? I'm not sure what one this is going to be. And then he said, I watch you guys all the time. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go ahead and take a step back. So I was like Homer Simpson going into the hedges.
Oh, yeah.
Like just slowly back.
That's exactly how I feel, Ron.
Exactly.
You do know.
And Fitz just took off. And I mean, I think the guy might have given him a kiss or a hug or something like that. I don't know. Kissed his ring, something like that.
His ring.
Yeah.
I don't wear rings.
Bow down before me.
And as soon as that happened, I was like, oh, I just got lead. Yeah. Oh.
What did we say, over 50 so far?
I've lost count. I have no idea.
Well, that happens a lot.
A lot.
Well, I'm so sorry. This time it's happened the most. Normally I can have a rough idea. This, I've lost count.
We were at a Cracker Barrel before Perry. We didn't even get into Perry yet. And some people from California recognized you.
Oh, yeah. That was like last time, wasn't it?
When we went to Perry this year.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just great. We're just sitting in line. I think we're waiting to get seated. And some guys just turned around and like, hey, you're the YouTube guy.
Yeah.
I started laughing so hard.
That's funny.
But yeah, he's been seeing a lot.
Who's this with you?
Yeah. No, they never ask about me. But the funniest thing happened before we went to float. Fitz was there. We were in the golf cart. One of the employees was working on the water tank by the float pond. Jeez. He goes, hey! And we stop, and he goes, I mean Lee, not the other guy.
Yes!
So one!
There's a win!
One!
So I've been Lee, too, so.
Nice. That's awesome.
Would that be Fitz, then?
Fitz, I don't know.
No, I'm happy for Fitz. He does good work. Yeah. And speaking of being recognized, and I'm throwing the name out here, Pat Hartness, who helped create this wonderful place. He came down and sat with us for dinner last night.
Oh, that's awesome. Nice.
Lunch, excuse me. And I, what, 20, 30 minutes?
Yeah, he was really nice.
He's just a good dude.
What a great guy. Yeah. I mean, he just saw very us friendly. Talking and he's like, hey, these look like fun chaps. And
chaps.
And he sat down with us and we had just a great conversation. So that's like what Fitz does. He just brings, you know, people want to talk to him. And that's neat. Pat, you know, Pat got to talk to you and talked about his plans here. And at this, I don't know if you guys were privy to one of our meetings or if y'all were at the meeting last night.
No,
the
AMA I
meeting.
Missed that. I completely forgot.
So interjection here. AMA's here. And so Tyler Dobbs is our new chief executive, executive director. And he's here and he was meeting people. And we had a meeting up by the hangar. And they first were introducing some people from Tripletree. But Pat Hartness had this declaration that this land was never going to be built on. It was never going to be retail, stuff like that, you know. And that's great. You know, he's like, it's always going to be a flying facility for thousands of years, hopefully. So that's good.
You're 35, they'll still be flying. Well, I hope here.
So. Yeah, I hope so. So it's just
well, robots will be flying them.
Mind control.
By mind control with somebody in another state or another planet.
And the runway will still be there. But yeah, we had a good time. And it's hope those of you who are listening who are here or were here whenever you're listening, that you also had a great time and you got to see the AMA booth that was at the main flight line and some of the cool planes. And maybe you even saw the B-24 that Mike had. And and maybe you even saw Fitz Walker amongst us.
Yeah.
He walkers amongst us.
Nice.
No, that was good, though. It was a good week. I'm happy we got to make it.
Me too.
So have you been spending any money? Jump
no,
ice?
No. Oh,
no.
Really?
None.
No, yes, I have.
Oh, yeah, okay.
We did.
You liar.
Yeah. No, actually, it was kind of nice this year. Our buddy from Toledo RC Swap Meet was here, Hank.
Yeah. He had a bunch of neat stuff for sale. That's not early in the week.
Yeah, so I sold 3 planes here and went home with 3 new planes.
That's so. How it's supposed to work.
So even it's exchange, net zero, right? Yeah, exactly.
He had a kind of interesting B-29 earlier in the week over there.
That was, actually went, I think, was that Wednesday when he sold that one, I think? It doesn't matter. But yeah,
it was,
he sold it.
Just a neat project. It needed some work, but it was still neat to see one there.
Yeah. I don't remember if that one. Was that what it, do you remember saying that at Toledo or not?
Yeah, it was the guy right across the street.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yep. I saw him here too. Yep. I forgot all about that.
Yep.
It's been a long week.
Like, so you're net zero.
Yeah.
For the nice. How about you guys?
I think I unfortunately spent more on food than aircraft.
Okay. I don't know if that means you ate too much or bought too many or too few planes.
Some stuff is expensive. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, some of the drinks and foods are expensive here. But the good news, I mean, I'm not spending a lot. I'm just saying most of my money is going towards that versus any aircraft. I bought a few connectors and stuff down on Vendor Row, but sorry, I was leaning back. Ron was giving me an evil eye.
Yeah, like,
I told you he would yell at
me. I'm sitting there thinking, how's this going to turn out? I've
disappointed him. But I do. I have a loud voice. People are not complaining about how close I am to the mic. Just you.
Well, this is a different setup.
So no, it's
you're
not.
Used
it's
to this.
Fine. It's fine.
I mean,
there's great stuff at Vendor Row, but I didn't bring the $950 this guy wants for a B-25 down there.
You should have.
No. I'm not going.
Oh, is that the Hangar 9 one down there?
Yeah. Never flown, but I was like, I'm looking in the $400 range if I'm going to spend cash in my wallet.
Right.
Yeah.
It'll be $400 or $500 range if I really want it. But I didn't come to Joe Null to buy a $950 small.
Well, it's interesting you say that because earlier in the recording here, Fitz said something about, he doesn't necessarily come here to fly so much as just like the whole experience.
Enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think everybody's expectation of when they come here is different, right? Like I know Ron and I's, our expectations and desires, wishes, whatever, are
things
different.
That makes us feel complete.
Yeah. Like I want to do more flying, I think, than Ron does. And Ron wants to do more like exploring and watching and just kind of taking it all in. So,
all right, Ron, you're with me.
Yeah,
let's go.
It's interesting. Like I enjoy the flying aspect of it because I mean, like, I don't get a lot of time at home to fly as much as I want to. Like, even though I don't have stuff lined up to do this summer, stuff has a habit of popping in, work trips or whatever. So, I don't get the opportunity to fly as much as I have for a week at Joe Null.
Right.
So,
and I'm the opposite because I can go fly whenever. Granted, it doesn't happen as often as I want. But there's days I'll go over to the field and get 30 flights in. And it's just back to back to back to back.
Yeah, right outside your back door.
No, the field.
Well, I mean, but you can fly right there at your homestead.
Can. You say homestead?
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, so like getting flights in and stuff here is not all that important to me because there's so much else to see that you don't see at home, that you don't get to explore the setups, the planes that are here. The mud, yeah, that was...
I'm going to go walk in this stuff.
I think the first 4 days, 5 days, whatever, was boots, which I'm glad I brought those this year because that made a huge difference.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, flying, all day doesn't really do much for me here.
Come on, I'm Team Tom. I want to fly.
Yeah.
We still haven't flown control line, Fitz.
No, I was just thinking that. We haven't been over there at all.
Speaking of control line combat, those guys are maniacs.
That's wild, isn't it?
They're nuts.
These guys are insane.
It's like watching two flies fight.
Yeah.
It sounds like it too.
Very entertaining to watch. So let me ask, you probably know how this works. So control line combat, how does the scoring work? Like they carry streamers, you get a streamer cut. I'm assuming that you get scored for that.
But I don't know any more than that. I think a cut is a score.
What about a direct hit, like when the airplanes actually hit and continue?
I don't know. That's a good question. I have no idea.
Because that happens a lot.
Yeah.
But if you go down there, you'll see in their little cases, they have 20 or 30 of these planes ready to go.
And if there's still time on the clock, at 4 minute heats, it looks like you get, they start the clock at 4:30, you fire them up. And then when it counts down to 4 minutes, they launch.
Yeah.
And if there's still time on the clock, when your airplane goes down, if your pit guy is handy and fast and can get another one running and going on your line, you can keep going.
Yeah, with a second plane.
I saw them do that. And I was like, that's awesome. I mean,
yeah, that's some neat
and
stuff.
And you call them planes. They're not really planes. They're
they're wings.
With a wing motor. With a motor and then
an elevator?
And a lot of right rudder.
Yeah. or an engine offset or something.
Yeah,
something,
I mean, yeah. I don't know. It's a weird looking
but
setup.
But if like anybody who might be listening, all four of our listeners and 8,000, however many you guys have, a bunch.
God.
If you ever get a chance to watch Control Line Combat, do it. It's really entertaining.
Yeah.
I don't know how they don't get tangled. Or if I don't they know do how get tangled.
There's
okay.
this thing called YouTube you can go look up and see
it's
some
not
videos.
The same, I think, as being there.
It's
like the
different.
Sound and then like when they make contact with it.
I think he means for the how it works part for us.
Oh, yeah, probably.
If no one knows what it is.
Gotcha.
But yes, being in there in person is
sweet. But anyway, go watch. It's really entertaining.
Also, one last thing is neat is a lot of them, I think, maybe required, they have a centrifugal fuel cutoff system. So if you're in combat and you cut the wires and it goes flying off, it'll shut off the engine so it doesn't go flying off.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Huh. It's this mechanical system,
The more you know.
Yeah. I didn't even think of that. I mean, because I figured the lines are pretty high tensile strength, tough. But yeah, I mean, I suppose.
Yeah, if you're doing combat, there's a good chance you're going to cut somebody's lines.
Yeah. How do they keep, anyway, YouTube.
Exactly. Anything else, guys? We good?
Are we done?
I don't know. Check your list.
I mean,
I do have a list. I mean, we could go on forever. Are we cutting it short?
No, keep talking.
We're going to talk about food.
Fitz did just say.
A shout out to my buddy Phil Tallman, who didn't bring anything to fly because he just flew from Washington. Big deal.
Yeah, right.
But I let him fly my Twin Otter, and then he just gave me grief the entire time.
Really?
He just
let him fly your airplane and he gave you grief.
And then he complained about my rates, my expo settings. And I was like, the plane flew pretty well for me.
Too low, too mushy. What's he?
Oh, I'm an I'm an opposite expo setting guy. If you didn't listen to the episode where people harass me. But yeah, both Terry and Fitz are. When I explained to them how I set my rates, they were like, that's completely wrong. It's like opposite. But I explained to them that I like my settings very, very soft, mainly because of gliders. So, when I'm flying his glider, I didn't have any hesitation in flying it. But I like when I got my very, very low rates on, I mean, very little movement, anyway, whatever I set to, they don't like. Phil, remember the episode, he makes fun of me. So thank you, Phil. This is for you because I know you're going to be listening to this either on your flight home or your drive home. And I'm sorry about your problems getting here because I'm going to egg him on that because he was like sleeping in his car.
I heard about that one too.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, but I do love Phil. He's a great guy. Thank you, Phil, for all that you do for AMA and the hobby. You're a fun guy. He was on our podcast several episodes ago.
Yeah.
Talking about his P-47. Nice. So we talked about food.
I did want to ask you something too. So last time you guys were here, you camped. This time you guys chickened out and got a hotel.
So now you're making fun of me.
What do you think?
My list.
What do you think? What do you think of the differences? What do you prefer?
Boy, I loved going back to the hotel and taking a shower and having lots of pillows around me and having a bathroom all to myself. There, I said it.
I can understand that.
There we go. But you mentioned in the beginning of the show that, you're here, you're staying here, you're comfortable here, that's fine. Yeah. When you camp here, that's part of your life. But we got to enjoy a great dinner last night, in the town of Woodruff. So we got to do that. I have friends who live in Spartanburg, so they came to see me. So that was it's not part of the whole Joe Nall, but the dear friends of mine and we used to work together. So they live in Spartanburg. So we went to dinner. So I had that opportunity to go out there. So there are reasons, our options out there. For
dinner.
But camping is fun. I will say this. When we recorded, we didn't do any night. I haven't seen any night flying.
Yeah.
We've left right before it got dark. So have you guys enjoyed any of the night shows? Did y'all go to 3D?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've been 3D a couple times.
We didn't scare.
Yeah, I heard a 3D night show was really nice.
It was pretty cool. And what sucks, and I shouldn't say sucks, what makes me feel even worse as a pilot is the main people you're watching down there flying these night demonstrations, three of them were like 11.
We hate them.
I know, right? That is just so unfair. But it's very impressive. Like, I don't know how they do it.
Yeah,
I can't.
The talent.
Yeah, supernatural almost.
There's a young kid at the main line for demo. Did you see him playing?
No, we didn't catch any of the new demos.
It might have been the same kid. Because there's a few of them here, but the one that was, I say 11, but I think he might have even been younger than that. One of them was.
Just stop.
But yeah, I mean, they're out there next to these 120cc planes, and they're barely taller than the rudder.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? And you're going to fly this?
More power to it.
No, no, we want more use in the hobby, right?
No, that's right. That makes me feel bad because I can't do that, right?
We need more rich parents.
Yeah, more rich parents in the hobby.
To buy the planes that these kids are flying.
Daddy Warbucks.
My dad never would have bought me that plane.
No.
Yeah.
Here's some wood and glue. Go.
When I was a kid, I did have one of the control line Cox whatever.
Yeah.
But so my dad, he bought it for me, but he knew nothing about it. I knew nothing about it. I didn't know you had to have anything to start it other than just, you know, fill it with gas and turn it. We never had glow plug igniters or anything like that, so never got it to run. And I still have no idea where that went, but I had the option. I just didn't have the knowledge at that point, which sucks, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, there's a big difference between, you know, a Cox-powered control line thing and these airplanes kids are flying.
Yeah, but back then these airplanes didn't even exist.
But still, these young ones, you know, they're not starting with these airplanes. Hopefully they probably started with an apprentice or Aero Scout or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And took to it very well.
Yeah. There's some natural talent.
Yeah.
That they cultivate.
But we did some night flying too. I don't know if you guys had seen, I put lights on my slow ultra stick. And is
very nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I like that so much that one of the planes I brought to fly that I ended up selling was the Night Radian. Like, I just have no interest in flying that one now after the slow ultra stick. Hmm. It flies so good.
I love that plane. I'm never going to sell that our Night Radian.
See, I've got one and I don't like it.
I'll take it.
I think there's something wrong.
Is it here?
No. Oh, I left it at home.
The only complaints I really heard about the Night Radian is because of the lights are a little bit heavier, so
it is
not great for thermaling, but if you just want a sort of a glider to put around in and fly at night and stuff.
I think it's my specific night, because I've flown yours, and yours flies great. I think there's something wrong with mine.
Is it in good shape?
Well, I got it used, so I mean.
So no?
It's in okay shape.
Make sure the wings are glued in.
Those don't glue it. I gotcha. No, I got it. That was a callback. I didn't quite catch it. Yeah. Got it. Haboo. There you go. Now you get it.
When you think about selling it, put my name on a list.
Okay.
I wish I'd have known that. I would have just given you mine.
Now I've told you.
Well.
Get any P-38s?
No, I did see one, by the way. Not yours.
Here?
You didn't see these?
One other than yours. Yes, I saw his. As I was coming back, well, Tommy was crashing this morning when I was coming back from saying goodbye to the Rhode Island guys. There was one sans wings, but like a pretty good size one sitting outside one of the campers down at the 3D line.
Oh.
Now I'm getting yelled at. Sorry. But
well, that's good to hear because I was really kind of sad. I mean, that's the only other one I've heard.
I don't know sizing. I don't know manufacturers or anything like that, but it looked like the minus the wing, so, you know, just the base part to it was probably 3 feet wide, maybe. I mean, it was a good size one.
Nice. Well,
yeah, Lee's was the only one I saw all week.
Yeah.
My goal is the next time I come to Joe Knoll is to have my 90-inch, my VQ/Nexus one flying. So
cool.
And go to the main line. It's nothing. It's not a big deal, but I'd like to bring that.
And bucket list.
And then someday when I have the time and Fitz harasses me enough and I get on it, finish my yellow aircraft P-38. And then
do it.
And then tell Fitz, you have to bring your own trailer because my trailer is just for my P-38.
Can we have a trailer pulling a trailer?
Yeah, we'll just, you know, convoy. We'll do a convoy.
There you go.
You've got a trailer.
I do.
Yeah, the yellow, that's a big one.
It is, yeah.
It's currently in my son's room. He's back from college. It's sitting up against the wall. I was like, do you mind if I leave it there, son? He's like, it doesn't bother me. I'm like, all right.
There you go.
That's cool. Any top airplanes you've seen that you've liked?
Well, I did like the Connie, and it was nice to see at the electric flatline. So something different.
And now it's going home.
And now it's going home with us. And I get to admire it, and hopefully Fitz will let me fly it when he puts it back together. So that's been nice. There's 5 Rileys flying.
Yeah, those are awesome.
Those are beautiful.
Beautiful planes. Go look them up, guys. You can find them on YouTube again.
Yep.
Riley Model B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful aircraft. I like Mike's B-24, of course. You know, the guys from CARF are here. They've got their incredible planes. The F-4 Phantom is just gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then I don't know Chris's last name, but he flew the Y-12.
Oh, yeah.
The SR-71, because I was being harassed by Phil Tallman again. Andy. Andy Griffith was also
A-12.
See, I knew I was going to get wrong. I'm still going to call it SR-71. You know what I'm talking about.
I knew what you meant.
It's the single seat SR-71.
Holy smoke, that was awesome yesterday.
Yeah.
He was low. Hey, that was low.
Twin 120 turbines. I asked him what it was in it.
What about the B-2 that was up there?
Did you see it fly?
Yeah, I saw it.
I just saw it.
I saw it from the E-line.
Oh, it was fly. It did fly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was last night, I think.
Yeah.
Really also, cool. The one I missed I like was the, I think it's half-scale BD-5 that some guy has.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, wasn't it?
Just missed it flying, yeah.
I didn't see it fly, but I saw it sitting on the ground. That's a neat-looking one.
Okay. It just crossed my mind because I wanted to tell Fitz earlier about the BD-5. There's a guy here who's taking videos and photos of the flights. You know where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah.
So I may not have been recognized as myself, but twice I was recognized as this gentleman, who is short, glasses,
kind of
portly. Thank you, Ron. His name is Saul.
Yep.
And this guy came up to me, and I don't think you're with me, Fitz, but this guy came up to me at the vendor row and said, "Hey, Saul, how you doing?" I'm like, "Hi." It's like he was like giving me this stare. He goes, "You're not Saul, are you?" He's like, "I don't know who you're talking about." And then I got recognized further down. And then I ran into the guy at the restaurant, and he's a very happy, uppity guy. More power to him. He's very excited about aviation, and he's documenting everything. But he's got caffeine flowing in his veins. So if you ever think I'm hyper, folks, there's 100. Lee to the power of 10
he's
out there.
Yeah.
But his thing is he brings a ladder with him because he likes to get these higher angles.
Yeah.
And as he says, because again, he's like me, he's short. He goes, I don't want to be behind people. I want to be on top. And after some of the flights and demos, he was very good about, like, he's almost like a wedding photographer. I mean, and the funny thing is, he is me. I mean, it's like, that's what I would do at a wedding. I'd bring a ladder. I'd have my camera. I'd talk to people, get them together. Hey, I'm going to get you a photo. And he would do that. You can find him on YouTube, and I don't have his card on me, so I will probably just put it in our description on our thing. But he videotaped one of my planes, my Dragonfly. And so I'm in there. I'm up there, and I was at the flight line by myself, the electric flight line. That's such a great plane, by the way, the little Delta.
Mm-hmm.
And but
that's the orange one, right?
Yeah, it's the orange one. It's like one of the first versions. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so I got recognized as somebody else. But do look at his videos, because now that we've gone through this, he's got one of the BD-5. He got a lot of the flight line yesterday. So, guys, if you want to see more of this content, I mean, they're not bad, half bad videos. So,
yeah,
it's just plain fun, right?
Is that just plain crazy?
Just plain crazy? Okay.
Thank you, Ron.
I think so.
Just plain fun or just plain crazy?
One of the two. Yeah.
And enjoy it. He does a voiceover too.
Yeah.
And what do you call mine? Amphibious butter? Because I landed it like just, he does this kind of stuff. He's like a DJ, really, if you think about it.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, it was pass that on. You guys go watch his videos and subscribe.
Have to check that out.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of stuff from the. I mean, he was busy.
Yeah.
Busy.
Yeah. All day. That's what he does. So.
And everywhere. I mean, just look for the guy in the ladder. It's not Lee.
Yeah. No, I haven't made much effort to stay at the main line this year too often. I think we went and saw the demos, part of them, on Wednesday. Or no, I did. You didn't.
Yeah,
I didn't. You were volunteering. So I stopped there, watched a few of the demos and stuff. But other than that, I've really not been up there too often. Well, there's too much else going on.
There is. I'm going to mention my rage, the Lee rage. I videotaped and took lots of pictures in the main line, but I have no internet at the hotel. It is awful.
My laptop
kept locking up when I was trying to render videos, to the point where I was enraged. So I just couldn't do it. So I don't have anything ready right now. And it makes me sad because I really wanted to put up this huge collection of reels that I made from the main flight line yesterday. Some great stuff.
Yeah.
And it'd be excellent to view. And I'm going to have to wait till I get home. So I'm sad. But hopefully, guys, by the time this audio comes out, you guys can be looking at some of that content. Look on AMA's Facebook page and Instagram, and I'll put some of my stuff on Raviation because I have a Facebook page there. And then we posted some photos on Facebook for RC Roundtable. Have y'all been posting on RC Plane Lab?
I am so bad. It's not even funny. Like, I have just been enjoying it and taking time in.
As you should.
And this is my vacation. This is not my work trip where I'm trying to, you know, take pictures and post. I know I should, and I probably will when I get home, some of the ones I took, but it's nothing. There's so many other people here posting pictures and all that stuff that you can see, I would rather just enjoy it.
Duplication of effort.
Yep.
Yeah, if you're listening here and you're on Facebook, there's a Joe Knoll Facebook group.
Yeah. Right?
So and I encourage you to go there.
Tons of pictures.
Lots of
that
pictures.
One.
Yeah, they're doing a really good job.
I shared a whole bunch from the lake.
Nice. Really
I saw that. That was pretty cool.
Good deal.
Very good. And there's a sailboat out there now.
Well, I mean, it is kind of windy.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I saw something the other day. A guy had a couple of really nice sailboats on the line, some really big stuff. Saw one in the water the other day, but I was driving by. I was like, whoa, that's some snazzy sailboats, RC sailboats.
Yeah, I have my first sailboat, but I haven't finished putting it together yet.
Oh, they're neat. They're a lot of fun. They're kind of one of those things that's easy to do, but hard to master, kind of.
Yeah.
They're a lot of fun. They're more fun than I ever thought they would be.
Yeah. Yeah. First time I did it was up at Terry's house, and it was, I sunk it almost.
Oh.
But
it's not good.
It's okay. So we'll see how it goes with my own.
I almost brought one, but I decided to.
But you brought a speedboat.
I brought a speedboat. So I was running that around earlier today.
That reminds me, last night, I don't even remember what time it was, but they were running, had to have been a nitro speedboat or something out here.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, a big gas.
The fuel-to-noise converter.
No. Not the one over here. I know which one you're talking about. Yeah. There was one that actually seemed like it was tuned well, was really fast.
Oh, okay.
That kind
of
stuff.
One I didn't see. Yeah.
Yeah, so the one the guy had over here, they were having issues with. But anyway, so he was all the way down there on that berm. And so I was watching it. I mean, it was going pretty quick, throwing up the big rooster tails and stuff, and turned around and started to walk into the camper. And as soon as I did that, I heard bam. And then the motor just like,
how'd that go?
I'm not doing that again. You can rewind if you want. But anyway, they ran into whatever this thing is out here in the water, that big square thing over there. Do you see it all the way across?
That's on the side, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, good so shooting text.
Yeah, they hit that somehow, did whatever. And, I mean, that boat was just, like, stuck right there. It wasn't moving, wasn't doing anything. And I saw the guy walking over to it. It's like, oh, my God. that had to hurt.
Got a tunnel vision.
But, it sounded like obviously, like when a plane hits the ground or something. It always, you hear that noise, and you turn really quick to see what it was. And, yeah, sure enough, he ran right into them.
I mean, how do you... Like that
thing, I don't know.
That's a large object in the middle of the water.
Yeah.
How do you...
Not even in the middle, right? It's on the side.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it jets out a little bit, not a ton. Yeah. Oopsies.
Okay.
Better him than me.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Next time we bring a submarine.
Submarine.
Maybe you could go down and search for all the batteries. And
all kinds of cool stuff sunk in there. Yeah.
God, can you imagine?
Yeah. Motors, batteries.
Yeah.
I bet there's all kinds of stuff at the bottom of this lake. In that area.
Yeah.
Kind of over there.
Anything else?
Nope.
That's
all I got. Fitz?
Fitz, you got anything?
No, I guess that's it. This is a great event. Despite the rain, I had a great time. No regrets.
Same.
Wonderful stuff to see, talk to people, do things, a little bit of buying and selling.
Yeah.
Got some goodies. You mentioned, Lee mentioned he had a friend. I also have a friend that lives in the state. I was able to see him, really good friend. So
nice.
Got a chance to, he came out here, got a chance to spend a day with him.
Cool.
As well, so great to see you guys too, as well.
Yeah.
Do another a collaborative podcast. That's great.
It's fun.
It's great. Yeah, this is a great. If you've never been to Joe Knoll, you should put it on your bucket list at least once. It's a great place. No matter what you want, if you want to fly a lot, if you want to look a lot, talk a lot, eat a lot, whatever, camp a lot, there's a great camping grounds as well. So
if you're into RC airplanes, there's something here for everybody.
Yes,
absolutely.
We call this the air venture of model airplanes, Oshkosh.
Yeah, that's a really good analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My other PSA is when you cook a steak dinner next to your RV, make sure you monitor it. You don't leave it standing and it catches fire. And then your friend Lee Ray goes rapping on your RV telling you your grill's on fire. Yeah, yesterday.
Missed that one.
Flames just coming out of this guy's grill. Yeah. Well, we didn't catch the RV on fire, but we just...
Thank goodness.
He's going to need a new grill.
He's going to need a new grill.
Ow.
I mean...
But did they save the steaks?
No.
Man.
Richard Charbroil.
Yeah.
Keep monitoring your food, folks. Just, if you come out here to camp, please do so.
Lots of PSAs in this, this episode.
Yes.
Oh, and I'm looking at one right now. Fitz and I will tell you, because that thing right there has saved our butt.
No, the golf cart?
Bring a golf cart.
Yes.
Or some sort of transportation.
A golf cart. It is worth every penny. I promise you, if you're coming to Joe Knoll for the first time... check in early, reserve one, you will need it. And it has saved our butt all day today. We brought equipment over here for you.
Yeah, because ours is packed up already. We are actually, after this, we're putting stuff in the case and heading out.
Blowing his taco stand.
I'm sure I said that in the last podcast and the one before that, but yes, golf carts are awesome.
Yeah, golf carts.
You have to have something.
Gators, whatever you want to call
them. Driving a car up and down, not fun. There's no room for cars. I mean, if you have a golf cart, you can park wherever you want, and people do.
Or a four-wheeler.
Or four-wheeler. Yeah,
and right. Or two-wheeler.
When we went to the 3D line, I guess Tuesday after the heavy rains, we actually got through that water with that golf cart.
That's crazy.
And a lot of people probably couldn't.
Yeah.
But we did. So anyway.
A couple spots are a little hairy. But we
just trying to help out those of you who are listening. It is definitely worth it. It is an absolute bucket list item. So please come out here. Recognize me and Ron first.
Please do.
Before Tom and Fitz.
Yeah.
One last thing. I have to make it a tradition. I've got to press the button.
Oh, you pick one.
Which one can I press?
It's time for RC Plane Labs Tool of the Week.
So that's what that button does.
Oh, that's a long one.
Didn't realize that was a long one.
Oh, and I can't stop it.
Children.
Boys, they're toys.
Cash out. Okay, I'm good.
That was
I'm surprised Fitz has not caught himself on fire.
Did you just pop me down?
Just touching
no, not
it.
You. That I turned that down. No.
Sorry, they got a control panel here with all these juicy buttons.
And he's just drilling.
I gotta press the button. Buttons.
We have to wait now for that part to be over before we can do the outro music. Oh,
okay, so it doesn't
and that was. I think that was just.
Which one was that? Well, which one did he press?
With Lori, three.
Oh, still going?
Three digits.
That was. So when we did our end of the year wrap up, that was the button for our goals for this year for flights.
Oh, you should just take that off of there so you don't accidentally hit it again.
I didn't accidentally
hit it. Oh, well, that's true.
He's been too busy not flying. Tommy, you and I are going to go fly after this, right?
All my stuff's packed away.
Oh, okay. You can fly some of my stuff.
I'll just pretend.
I'm going to one-up you. Go. I'm going to do four.
Oh, God. Still there.
Still playing.
So how y'all doing now?
You can't stop it?
No, that's what I said. I can't stop it.
I love this live stuff for us. Oh, it's over.
Oh, it's done. Cool.
It's done. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, now we can say goodbye to everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody. Thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Ron.
I'm Tom.
I'm Lee.
I'm Fitz.
Fitz Lee.
Goodbye.
Please visit our website at rcroundtable.com. That's where you will find all of our podcast episodes. You can also find a little bit of background information about the show host and leave comments and suggestions about the show. There are links to a few of our favorite vendors and also links to our various social media accounts. Thank you for watching and listening.